You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
I don't know that the dinner party ever happens. I don't believe that it does. But Matt and Astoria would like to help if, in fact, it does.
Dave, you are my Giants fandom spirit animal, by the way.
Happy to help, Matt. Happy
so you're touched, then, is what you're saying. You're troubled.
I want IVs in both arms, and I want the good stuff.
Wow. Let's make a dinner party happen. Take the pressure off yourself. Hire a private chef, and I could be your guy.
I think Matt would be more equipped at your house because you don't cook, and I'm not having frozen meatballs.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
On 98.7 ESPN. Oh, good time out there.
All right, DPHRO and Rothenberg, the 7 o'clock hour. And as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm like friendly with the deli guys. They're so nice to me. They know me. What I
well,
bring
you
to
should
the table.
Be. Well, I mean, you should be. Why wouldn't you be?
I'm just saying, but like I walk up and they're like, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I mean, though, you want to be friendly with them. I mean, they're in charge of the deli meat. They want the right thickness and everything else.
That's right. Then they you know, give me little samples and maybe.
So you eat
I don't want to give up the meat.
You chastised me the other day for eating the samples.
Well, no, but things that I might not buy. They'll say, you know what, next time maybe you'd like this, and they let me try it.
What is something that they gave you that you've never tried that you tried? You're like, oh, you know what? I like this. I'm going to get this
they
next
have a,
time.
They have a balsamic chicken salad.
Ooh.
And they said, would
sounds
you?
Sounds delicious.
And I said, I'm not. They said, it's new. And I said, yeah, I'm not interested. Well, why don't you try it for next time? And now look at this obese man that's going to sit
in the
chair. Maybe you'll be interested.
Oh, you're interested.
I know.
Oh, you're interested.
Oh, the balsamic chicken
salad.
That sounds
delicious. Oh,
It would drizzle balsamic, not swimming in balsamic, by the way.
No, like a more of a yeah, like a cooked down, thicker balsamic.
Yeah, wonderful.
Ooh, that does sound good.
See,
I had a delicious chicken salad for football Sunday, by the way.
Oh, I love chicken salad, toasted bagel. Mm.
That's what I had. Everything.
Yeah, so you get it. You do get it. You are a foodie. I love it.
It was phenomenal. And I take everything. I actually took some of the everything bagel seasoning and threw it into the chicken salad too.
Oh, and this is homemade chicken salad that you made?
Oh, this is, yeah. This is oven roasted, picked off, hand-picked off the bone.
Ooh.
And the key is, too, while the chicken is still warm, that's when you mix the mayo in. So it really receives the mayo.
Mm.
Oh, was it good?
Oh, this is terrific.
Red onion.
Huh. Much less terrific than the Giants and the Jets, mind you. So before we get to the Giants, obviously the Jets kind of a little downtime because they were off last week and the Giants just played and they were so bad. But let's play a little game. Power rankings. Everyone's going to have their power ranking today. In your mind right now, realistically, how many teams can win the Super Bowl?
How many teams?
How many
in this moment?
I'll go through teams and you tell me if you really think there's a chance this team can win the whole thing. You ready?
Well, I can tell you right now, yeah. Go.
Can Buffalo. And there's the music. Can Buffalo win the Super Bowl?
Yes, but they need to find a way. They need to develop a running game. Yes.
Okay, so that's one. Can the Chargers win the Super Bowl?
Oh. I can't unsee what happened in Baltimore. I can't unsee it. No, I don't think the Chargers are at that level yet.
So then there's
too
nobody
soon
in the
for them.
Can the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay, so that's two. Can the Ravens win?
Yes.
Three. Can the Bengals win?
No.
Can the Browns win?
No.
I'm not, Pittsburgh is a no. Can Tennessee win?
Their defense is not very good. No.
So in your mind, there's only three teams from the AFC that can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, in the moment.
Buffalo, Kansas City, and I'm not even sure about that one, and Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, anything can happen. I get it. Anything can happen. But at the moment, I mean, Kansas City's strictly based on the fact that Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes.
Right.
And they've won a championship, so I know they're capable of doing it. Buffalo's probably right now the best team in the AFC. I think Baltimore's right there behind them. And I think everyone loves the Chargers. It just feels like, I mean, Justin Herbert's in his second year, that they can't stop the run. Their defense cannot stop the run at all.
No, and he was not good this past week against Baltimore.
No, I feel like it's a progression, right? Like, it's like this is the first step, like, and they'll continue
to
get better.
Get in, maybe win a playoff game, but at least get in, and then next year you'd look at them to take that next step.
Yeah, it's a progression.
Yep,
correct.
I agree. All right, so it's three from the AFC for you. NFC. We'll start in the East.
Dallas.
Can the Giants win the Super Bowl?
No chance.
No. Can Dallas win the Super Bowl?
I think Dallas could probably win the Super Bowl, yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
Let me tell you something right now. If Dallas wins the Super Bowl, I'm taking 2 days off of work.
Well, that's fine, because me and Ray will be in front of your house on horses riding up and down the streets.
Horses. Why would you take enjoyment if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl?
Because you're being mean to my guy, so I already told him. I promised him. I said it yesterday. Dallas wins, me and him, horses, me and ass chaps,
I will be
up
on the phone
down
with animal control, the police, everyone, and I will have you arrested and taken away in cuffs.
I may even hire a band, too, just to play some music for us while we're doing it.
Great. I'm going to send my dogs after the horses.
We'll call Michael Irvin and everything.
Now,
save a horse, ride a cowboy. We'll be playing some of that.
There's sound of Michael Irvin saying that the Cowboys will be going to the Super Bowl yesterday from First Take. Let's take a listen to this.
I want everybody out there, Cowboys Nation, I want you to know.
Go get your Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
Go get your Super Bowl tickets. Get them early. I'm trying to help you out right now because I know what it takes to win Super Bowls. I know what it takes to win championships. On every level, I have won championships, and there are certain things woven through those teams that I see now in the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm telling you, go get your tickets early because we will be in SoFi. I'm telling you right now.
You know what's great about that is the fact that there's going to be such a letdown. Because Santiago and Michael Irvin and these Cowboys frauds. Oh, we're going to SoFi. We're going to.
Why
play
are you touching
the
money? Why? What are you doing?
Who's a fraud, though?
Frauds. You're all frauds.
How?
Every single one of you. You know, I don't want to talk to you. Really, you repulse me. Repulse me.
Okay, you don't have to talk to me.
Oh, I don't have to talk to you.
Where was he before First Take? At the White House? I mean, what were they doing? Like, why all of a sudden did you go on First Take and you got to say crazy stuff?
Are you familiar with Michael Irvin at all?
No, I am.
Have you watched the guy for the past 20-something years?
You know what, Sandy? Buy yourself.
I love it.
Buy yourself a non-refundable ticket to Los Angeles.
Yeah, sure, because I have that kind of income. I'm the type of guy who could take a $10,000 loan and go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, I'm that guy.
Well, you know what? Now, the industry you're in, we got RJ to the Super Bowl. We'll get you to the Super Bowl. See, this is the kind of guy that I am. As repulsed as I am by the way you act and the fact that you throw it in my face at the drop of a hat, if the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl, I'm such a good friend, I would facilitate you going.
And by
facilitate, you would say,
hey, such and such, can you do this guy a favor?
Yes. I would call up my inner circle and say, can you do me a favor and get me two tickets to the Super Bowl? Absolutely.
Dave is good at doling out responsibility to other people.
Well, I can't do it. What do you want me to do? Call Goodell and say, Roger, I need two tickets? I don't have that authority, but I can get you two tickets, and I will.
Go online, buy two Super Bowl tickets for the guy.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, of course you wouldn't.
Well, I don't understand how if I went and bought and got him two tickets, how I would be a bad guy here.
Well, no one's saying that you could be a bad guy, but let's not pretend like you're like the greatest guy because you're going to pick up the phone and ask somebody else.
That is very nice.
No, stop, please.
You know what? If you did it for him, oh God, Rick, you're the greatest. If I do it, it's like, oh, you're not a very good guy.
Salt, you know what? Salt of the earth, this guy.
Both of you, you deserve
just
each other.
Read
together.
Read the text messages. See what a great guy this guy is.
IYAB, Ray. IYAB, buddy.
Good. All the way, B.
Never forget.
Never forget
what he said to you.
So you think Dallas' chance to get to the Super Bowl, win the whole thing. Arizona, are you sold? They're 6-0. I get that. Dominating performance over Cleveland. Are you sold that Arizona can win the Super Bowl?
You know what the only thing The only thing that really concerns me about Arizona right now is what I saw last year with Kyler Murray. The way he plays, he got dinged up last year, and he was never the same. Was never the same quarterback for the rest of the season. I mean, do you? I have a hard time not after what they just did.
I do. I do. There's a lot of teams I do. The Rams, I do.
Yep.
You as well, right? Not Niners and not Seattle.
Tampa.
Green Bay, I think.
Yeah, Tampa.
So that's one. I don't put Dallas. You put Dallas as one.
They're not number one, but yeah, they're on
no,
the
no,
list.
No. But I don't have Dallas as a team that's going to win the Super Bowl.
How can you not have Dallas right now as a team that could win the Super Bowl?
Because I don't think their defense is good enough. And I'll tell you, and this is genuine, and I don't even think the two of you would argue much with this. In a big spot, I do not trust Mike McCarthy at all.
No, I don't either.
At all.
No, he's a liability. Absolutely a liability. But I say this, though, man. I mean, hopefully Dak's calf is okay. Offense, ability to run the football, explosive. But, I mean, it just feels like one of those seasons where defense isn't great, but they just create tons of turnovers, man. It reminds me of that Saints team. Remember the Saints team that won the Super Bowl?
Of course.
Defense wasn't good, but they just created a ton of turnovers.
And that might be more important than having an elite defense anyway, just the big turnover. So you have Dallas, Arizona, the Rams, Green Bay, Tampa. You have five. I have four.
Yeah.
Yep. So I have four, right. And we have three. So we have seven or eight teams that have a real chance. About one quarter of the league has a chance to win the whole thing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
What are the Jets getting? Seven and a half right now?
I can check. So I haven't looked at the spreads recently.
You would probably take the points for the 250 right now?
Yeah.
But probably $1,000. $1,000. That's
yeah,
you're
going to New England. I mean, come on.
Maybe a little letdown from the Patriots, though. Jets coming off that great fourth quarter over in England.
Can the Patriots afford to have a letdown?
No.
At the moment? No.
Well, they can't afford it.
No, they can't afford it. They're getting, the Jets right now are getting seven.
Seven.
Jets are getting seven. Giants are getting three.
I don't know. Explain to me how the Giants are only getting three.
How the Giants are only getting three? Yeah. Well, it's at...
Oh, okay.
At MetLife. We have okay. Tremendous.
What there is less than zero home field advantage. You've been awful. Your star running back is not going to play.
I think playing at home right now is a negative.
Okay, right. Your star running back is not going to play. Galladay, I can't imagine is going to play. Sounds like Andrew Thomas has now hurt the other foot, and it's hard to imagine he's going to play. Kadarius Toney isn't going to play. How could I possibly like the Giants plus 3 points in this game?
This is where the Giants defense steps up.
Oh, yeah.
They turn over Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You're in a sub right now. You're in a sub. It's sinking. There's a hole. Someone's got to plug the hole. I would imagine 1 in 5, there's probably multiple holes. I can't imagine. Yeah,
we're taking on
hole.
A lot of water.
A lot of water.
Yeah, a lot. You need a
lots
full
of water.
Bucket brigade. What do you say? Brigade on this one.
Can let me hear that again?
Full bucket brigade. Like you've never messed up.
Oh, goodness gracious.
All right, you want to hear from Dan Orlovsky?
Dan, yeah. Is he going tough nuts here? What are we doing here?
Yeah, this is Dan Orlovsky, not so thrilled with the job that Joe Judge is doing at the moment.
At home, at some point, you got to play a good football game. Let me say this, okay? Players in the locker room don't like Timmy Toughnut coaches when you're losing football games. Timmy Toughnuts from Joe Judge.
Yeah.
And you're losing football games.
Yeah.
And your quarterback goes, everybody on your team is hurt. You're down 38-3 at half or at the end of the game. Your quarterback is still in the game with like 2 minutes to go, and he's taking shots when everybody on your team is hurt. Like, this is just a disappointment by the Giants.
Here's the problem.
The best dad joke you ever told.
Timmy Toughnuts.
Yeah, see, we all have our different ones. I never heard. I don't go with Timmy Tough. You know what? I go with Billy Big Balls.
Yeah. What we go with. Oh, great. Whatever it is, feels like the bloom is off the rose of one Joe Judge, doesn't it?
Digital tough guy.
Yeah, but I told you this when you hired him. I mean, this is what happens. If you don't have winning to support that kind of coach, that kind of message, it goes stale. It gets old.
But you're not even close to winning.
At the moment, no.
You're one in five. You could be 0-6. You've lost to teams that. I mean, is it fair to say the easiest part of your schedule you've already played?
Yeah, you said they could be 0-6, but they also could be 3-3.
Could be, yeah. I guess they could have won that Atlanta game and the Washington game. But so, doesn't that go to show you bad coaching? Like, well, you could be 3-3, but you're 1-5.
Yeah, but I mean, bad, not great coaching, not great. I mean, not a great team. I mean, bad teams find ways to lose close games. The other thing too is all the things that he's preaching too. I mean, have been problems, right? Like, I mean, he throws that stupid challenge and loses a timeout, which was ridiculous. I mean, Dexter Lawrence jumping off sides. Ugh. On a special teams play for some reason. Like, I don't know why in the interior of the line you feel like you're going to jump. You block the field goal, stop, please. And then penalties. I mean, early on in the season, I mean, the Giants were one of the most penalized teams in the league.
It's been terrible. And you know a play we didn't even discuss yesterday?
But this There's so many.
But this is a special teams ace, like a genius, right? Like, that's his bread and butter. How about the play where the Rams threw to the guy out wide on the punt?
Yeah, he was wide open. No one covered him.
Wide open.
Oh, here's the best part, though. You'll love this. So do you know why that play was negated? Do you know what the penalties were?
Well, it was two, weren't there?
Well, it was offsetting penalties. Yeah, both teams got flagged for
unsportsmanlike penalties, yeah.
Yeah, but do you know why?
What the unsportsmanlike was? No.
Both teams had 12 men on the field. So he had 12 men on the field. You still left him uncovered.
Well, let me ask you this now. Why is that unsportsmanlike 12 men, though? I don't understand. Isn't it just 12 men?
It was cheating, I guess.
No. But I've never heard 12 men being called unsportsmanlike.
No, I never either. But that's what I heard yesterday. That it was because both teams had 12 men.
I'd like to find out about that. That doesn't make sense.
Which the fact that was called unsportsmanlike.
Well, yeah, because have you ever heard 12 men being called unsportsmanlike?
Well, usually, isn't it like it's 12 men in the huddle? I've heard 12 men
right,
in the huddle.
Or 12 men on the field, I've heard.
Yeah, I don't know why in that moment.
And then it's a 5-yard penalty. I've never heard of an unsportsmanlike 15-yard penalty for that.
Maybe the referee was like, I see what you're trying to do here, Joe. I see you trying to cheat. Oh, and you and Sean McVay, you're trying to cheat too. Unsportsmanlike on both of you.
That's right. Big cheaters. Mike Tenenbaum is going to join us in just a moment. Here's to whet your appetite a little bit, though, because I am done. And I even think you're at the verge where you're done with this Giants regime. Mike Tenenbaum, Barton Hahn yesterday saying he's not quite ready to press the reset button.
When they're all healthy, they have a dynamic skill group, and I like Daniel Jones. And here's what I would say is, who are you going to get that's better than he is? Like, no one in next year's draft looks that great. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to New York. Who are you going to get that's better than Daniel Jones? He hasn't been perfect. When Slayton and Shepard and Galladay, Kadarius Toney looks really encouraging. And obviously, when Barkley's healthy, what Barkley does out of the backfield, and when running backs are good out of the backfield, puts a lot of pressure on a defense. I think it's hard to blow up what they have because of all the injuries they've had this year.
Well, that's Mike Tenenbaum. We will find out what he says about the Giants next. And it could be hot and heated because I do not agree at all.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mike Tenenbaum, our resident general manager, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Never once do you reach out and say, Dave, I know things are obviously very difficult for you. I'm here if you need to talk to someone or a shoulder to cry on. Never one time, Mike.
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I feel like I did something philanthropic for you this morning because, as I know, you're always fastidiously looking at my Twitter feed and I put out something very positive about your New York football Giants. Do you know that of 120 snaps that Andrew Thomas has played this year, according to our ESPN blocking metrics, he has a positive ranking, literally 104 out of 120 graded snaps.
That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, so I'm just here to make your day a little bit better. And in all seriousness, like when you watch the tape, guys, it marries the statistics. And for all the things that haven't gone well for the Giants, I think the quarterback continues to get better despite some turnovers this week. And you have what I think is a frontline left tackle, hopefully, for the next decade.
Good thing he's healthy, Dave.
Yeah. Well, he's not healthy.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a good thing those great numbers will translate to this weekend's game.
Listen, see what he tries to do, Mike. Let's not let him bring it. We have so few things to grasp onto. Let's grasp onto the positives. Thomas, Kadarius, Tony looks good. But here's what I would start out by asking you. I can't believe that we're 6 weeks in, and I don't know if you feel like this or not, but it kind of feels like Joe Judge's tenure here with the Giants is really, really hanging in the balance over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I certainly hope it isn't, and here's why. I think he has a chance to be a really good coach. And if you're a Giant fan, the worst thing wouldn't be to move on from Joe Judge. The worst thing would be to move on from Joe Judge and see him be a really good coach someplace else. So I think he's a guy that has an open sort of growth mindset. He's going to learn from his mistakes. He's a young guy. And if you're John Mara, if you're the Tishes, the Maras, and you hire a guy with his background, you got to think, like, we're betting on the upside. We're betting on the long term. And I think it would be disappointing to pull the plug on that prematurely because he's a smart, hardworking, tough guy. And I think it's really hard. I'm just telling you guys, as a GM, it's really hard to evaluate his performance given, you know, it's just catastrophic what's going on from an injury perspective.
Didn't the Lions think the same thing, Mike, with Matt Patricia, where he came from, strong, hardworking guy?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Yeah. I understand it. I've been in locker rooms, though, man. I mean, coaches like him, the message that they preach, all the tough guy stuff, if we don't win, I mean, that gets old in a hurry in a locker room, and they're not doing much winning at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair, Rick, but you know, the counter to that is there's countless guys, and I'm not saying he's going to be Bill Belichick, but I work for Coach Belichick in Cleveland. I work for Coach Belichick in New York. He's the same guy. Now, he's learned, he's probably evolved, but his core principles, I promise you, when I hear him speak or talk, it's the same thing he was talking about in the mid-90s in Cleveland. And all I'm saying, when you think about him, the Pete Carrolls of the world, you know, Pete stumbled at the Jets, went to New England, stumbled there. The rest is history. And I think Joe Judge is going to have a very long career as a coach. There's a lot of things that I like what he does. And who are you going to get that you know for sure is going to be better than Joe Judge?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Mike. And this is why it's such a precarious, Harvard word, situation for the Giants. We all, I mean, I know Dave is, I mean, he's been pounding the table for the last couple of years that Dave Gettleman needs to be fired. So what happens now? If you think that they should keep Joe Judge, I've seen arranged marriages. You know, GM takes over the team and inherits the coach. Like, how do you deal with that if you're the Giants?
Yeah, look, I've been in both of those situations where I've come in with a coach, where I've hired a coach. And look, it's a partnership. It's a marriage. It's about communication. And I think if everyone in that building says, hey, this is what we want a New York Giant to look like, by position, and you have earnest conversation and transparency, it can work. And again, when you hired him, he was a special teams coach that came from a great background, worked for Nick Saban, worked for Coach Belichick. So I don't think when they hired him, they said, wow, it's going to be perfect a year and a half into it. And again, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, you could say the quarterback looks better, and there's a lot of good young players on this team.
You think he's done a good job, though, Mike? That would be my question to you. I mean, they're 1-5.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I forget who I heard yesterday. It might have been Orlovsky, someone that says it looks like they're being outcoached in every single game. It's just like, I don't know. I get it that they're very injured and banged up right now. But my question to you is, do you think he's done a good job with this team this year?
No, not yet. But I do think some of these young players are getting better. And that, to me, is if the three of us were hiring a coach, we would look at some of the trends we're going to look at is, did he take players in lower rounds and make them better? Did he take first rounders and maximize their ability? And I would say in his short tenure, that arrow to me is actually up. And one of the many things I would disagree with Orlovsky on, but I think Daniel Jones has gotten better. I think Bradbury has taken a step back. I think Leonard Williams has taken a step back. And you could put that on him. You could put it on Patrick Graham. But overall, I think there's a good young nucleus. And again, if we go back to the Saint game when Saquon was out there, and the thing about Saquon, guys, is what we don't talk enough about is what he does out of the backfield, because that puts immense pressure on a defense. He can make the one or two plays in a game to flip the game like he did against the Saints. And when you get him back with Tony and Galladay, John Ross, to me, is a guy that was an under-the-radar signing. Ingram, it's a good group of young nucleus of skill players that most teams would trade theirs. If you look in the division, yeah, I'd rather have Dallas's, but after that, Washington or Philly, I'd rather have the Giants. So I don't think it's perfect, but I don't know. I would err on the side of being patient, disappointed, but I would still carry on with him.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Something that bothered me that happened on Sunday, not even that they got their, 28 points in the second quarter, got embarrassed and everything else, but, I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean, the hit he took, he's out on his feet against Dallas. I know he got through concussion protocol and everything else, so you decided to play him, but I mean, a couple quarterback sneaks, which are just free shots of the quarterback, which I didn't think was the right call. And then it's 38-3, and for some reason he's still in the game, dropping back. He dropped back 51 times. He threw the ball 51 times in that game. I mean, it's, I get it. Let's compete for 60 minutes. But did you have a problem with that, or did you think that was all right?
Yeah, I didn't love that either. And, you know, I remember talking to Jay Billis, the great basketball commentator for ESPN before the draft, when Daniel Jones came out. He was telling me how tough he was and what a great athlete he was. And, of course, I totally ignored him because I thought that was like a Duke guy, you know, propping up another Duke guy. But I think one of the things that was a real positive this week, guys, was that he answered the bell. And if you ask Coach Parcells about when did he know that Phil Simms was going to be a great player, it was when he threw four interceptions, got back into the huddle the following Wednesday, and everybody in that huddle believed in Phil Simms. And I think what happened this past week was there was a lot of his teammates that like, wow, Daniel Jones, man, he is tough. We could count on him. And that didn't show up against the Rams, but I'm telling you, like, that's an important step for him.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You're sounds like leaning towards keeping Joe Judge. We'll see what the final 11 games bring, but okay, fine. There's no way that Gettleman can survive this disaster of yet another season. If he doesn't, and most assume that there's no chance that he can, do they have to go outside the family and bring someone in who's just innovative and smart and someone that maybe they don't know all that well and they're not comfortable with, but just someone that can change the direction that this franchise is heading in?
Yeah, I think you run a great process. I think that's a really fair point, Dave. And if you run the right process, you'll get the right result. There are a lot of great young front office people, some I know better than others, but clearly, yeah, you want to bring in some ideas. You want to, again, go through a great process. There's their assistant GM, Kevin Abrams, has been there a long time. He's a smart, capable executive. I'm sure he'll get an interview. And then, again, we're talking about things that we don't even know if there's an opening. But if you run an earnest process, usually you're going to get the right result. And by the way, like, give them credit on Joe Judge. Like, they certainly didn't take the easy answer. They didn't just go hire Jason Garrett to pick a name. Like, they went out, they went through a process, and they found someone that they really liked. You know, much the way Sean McVay was hired in the Rams or Brandon Staley at the Chargers. And, you know, we'll see how it works out. But I always give credit to people that do exactly what you said, Dave. Like, take their time and be thorough.
Yeah, why would you even consider hiring like maybe an Eric Bieniemy, like an offensive coordinator with the young quarterback? That makes too much sense. Mike, last night's game, did you have a problem? I mean, did you like the aggressiveness there going for the – I mean, it was less than a yard late in that game, or would you have kicked the field goal?
100%. And some of the best teams I've been on, going back to those great Jet teams with Rex Ryan, he used to have a really funny expression, which was like, there was a couple times in playoff games we would go for and fourth and one. He's like, hey, not only are we going to run the ball here, but I'm telling the other team we're going to run it. And we're so good at what we do that they know it, we know it, and we're going to get a yard. And I think when you have Josh Allen, you want the whole world to know, hey, guess what? We're going to run the ball with Josh Allen, try to stop us. And I think that was the mindset. And I think, again, Rick, you can relate as a former player. I think players over time appreciate and respect that there's great belief by the head coach.
Are the Chiefs in trouble? I mean, they get the big win in Washington. Their defense does not look very good. Mahomes turning the football over. We've never seen this from him. You still look at them as a team that can go to the Super Bowl?
You know, let's put a pin in that question. I think if I was them, I'd do everything I could to go get Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden's a corner on a team in Pittsburgh that, you know, has a little bit of life here, but in all probability will either not make the playoffs or barely make it. He's a good player that could make them a lot better. And what we're seeing, guys, is Patrick Mahomes was on a rookie contract. He signs an extension, and good football players are going to leave. Someone like Sammy Watkins on the offensive side of the ball. And when you look at defensively, Frank Clark's a good pressure player, the Honey Badger, Tyrone Mathieu. But after that, it's not good. They can't pressure the quarterback. They can't play man-to-man and get off the field on third down. So when you can't do those things, it puts a lot of pressure on your quarterback. And even though Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the sport, he is pressing right now.
Yeah, too many turnovers. I mean, the last thing you want to do when your defense isn't very good is turn the football over as much as they're doing. Mike, so today as we sit here through 6 weeks, who would you put as your front runner for Defensive Player of the Year?
Every guest? Seriously?
Oh. I mean, are you Trayvon Diggs to me has to be the guy. I mean, the way he's turned the ball over,
yes,
and scored. Yeah, I
don't. That's what they're looking for, because I said it's going to be Myles Garrett and Santiago, who you know, who's our technical engineer, and Rick. They're just chomping at the bit that it's going to be Trayvon Diggs. And I tell them it's not, and they just don't believe that.
Whether he deserves it or not, he's going to get it. He's a really good player. He turns the ball over, but, you know, he scored a touchdown, and then 10 seconds later gave up, you know, a double move for a touchdown to Kendrick Bourne the other night. So, look, he's having a great year. I think he'll be the player of the year.
All right, there you go. You feel good now?
I feel great. Mike, is that defense good enough, though? This is for Santi. Is that defense going to hold up enough to make it a legitimate possibility that this Cowboys team could compete for a championship or no?
Here's why. Yes, two names. Kelvin Joseph, second-round pick out of Kentucky, corner, and more importantly, DeMarcus Lawrence. Dan Quinn's done a remarkable job. They're a defensive coordinator. They've played over 30 players on defense already, and they're going to get back two players that are really good. So, in my opinion, they've been good, and they have a chance to get better. We just talked about Kansas City. How do they get better? Look at the Cowboys. They got two good young players that are going to come back to help them.
So, who's the best team in the NFC right now? You got a lot to choose from.
Yeah, there's four teams, Dave, in my opinion, draw the line. Rams, Tampa. I think you got to put Dallas into that conversation right now, and obviously the undefeated Cardinals. So, those four, and if I take one...
You don't put Green Bay in there, huh?
No, I don't trust Green Bay's defense at all. And if I, for one game, you know who I'm taking? I'm taking Dallas, and here's why. If we go back to opening night, they stood toe-to-toe with the world champs. Dak Prescott had no training camp. I just think their offense, as good as those other offenses are, I think theirs may be slightly better. And I think defensively, they can make the one or two plays. Randy Gregory's playing well, but any of those four teams could represent the NFC, and it wouldn't be a surprise.
If the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, I'm taking time off, just to let you know.
Mike, I'm renting horses, just so you know, if you want to join us. Myself, Santiago, the Cowboys fan, and hopefully you are going to rent horses if Dallas wins and then ride up and down Dave's street and taunt him if you want to partake.
I'd be happy to. Good. Would you
I'm just letting you know, Mike, I will shoot at all of you.
I'll provide all the apparel to hat. I'm going to go assless chaps. That's just me. I mean, it's up to you. You decide. Spurs, boots, all of it. X to our faces off, get all hyped up, and then just ride up and down the street.
Great. Wonderful.
Now, that's an event I think X2 would love to sponsor. You know, it's all natural, healthy energy. And, you know, go to x2performance.com. We'll have Kawhi Leonard. We'll have Rick DiPietro. We got Saquon Barkley, ironically. Like, we'll just put you up there with the rest of them.
When do you want me to start being a spokesman for X2?
Once you get on the bandwagon, come on. You know, like,
once you show some energy to the show.
Energy. I couldn't have more. I couldn't add more energy and vitriol to the show.
Oh, that's good.
All right, Mike. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. How's the Sunday morning show going, by the way?
You know, I'm a little up and down. I could be better. You know, Matthias Kiwanuka's doing a great job. Anita's rock solid. I think my performance has been okay, but, you know, like a lot of the teams early on, I could do better, and, you know, I have a high standard for myself, so look for better performances from me later on.
New York Game Day, 8 to 11 every Sunday right here on 98.7. That is Mike Tenenbaum. Mike, we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, he's terrific, by the way.
He's the best. He's like a member of the show now.
He fits right in.
See, but that's why you got to get the right guest, because you don't want just someone that comes on, answers a couple questions, and is gone. You want someone that's immersed in the show. He's up. He's tweeting about the show.
Right.
He's the
He knows what he's doing, right? Rothenberg is obviously feeling away. Let me dangle a decent carrot in front of him. Something positive about Andrew Thomas, right? Like he knows how to play the game. He's playing the game well.
He's all X2'd up. He's full of energy. He'll be on the horses with me and Santiago. You couldn't have liked that little nugget he threw in that he thinks Dallas is the team.
No, I actually do.
Why? Because when they fail, it's going to even be worse.
Because when they fail, and it's not an if they fail, it's a when they fail. Because I got Michael Irvin, book your tickets. I got Mike Tenenbaum, best team in the NFC. They're going to win this whole thing. Santiago, I mean, we know what he does. When they fail, I'm going to be insufferable. You might want to take
it's
that.
No wonder you're insufferable. You're making up offenses to be angry at. Nobody said they're going to run through the NFC. Nobody said that.
This is what he does, though, Santiago. You know what he does.
Michael Irvin said, get your tickets to California.
Stop listening to Michael Irvin. He's been saying that for 25 years.
You can't. Don't take that serious.
Tenenbaum just said they can go to the Super
Bowl.
He's
probably dehydrated. He's profusely sweating.
That's a man. I wonder if he has a glandular issue. Like, he really sweats a lot, right? Like, maybe see an endocrinologist or something. There's a lot of sweating that goes on with Michael Irvin, right?
I've got no comment.
He gets himself all worked up.
Let's spend a couple minutes on the Mets right now. What did you see yesterday? There was rumors that they were going to reach out to a man that owns like car dealerships as their next GM.
It's been bad, man. They're right back where they were last year.
But how are we late October and they're at the beginning stages of hiring a GM and a manager?
They must have thought it was going to be easier than it was last year, but it's not. I mean, everyone was so cut. Oh, but it looks like Billy Beane's going to be the guy, and then he told Sandy Alderson and he's all set. But they better get this done. But they have to get this done, Dave.
But they don't even have a list that they're working with right now.
I mean, to the point where it's being suggested that they should hire Luhnow from the Astros, who was suspended.
I've heard there's no way that's going to happen.
No, I know, but that's where we're at. But with the CBA coming up, I mean, you can do your business once the World Series is over. I mean, there's a short window there to take care of what you need to get taken care of.
But you
got to
get it done quickly. I mean, you know, once that deal gets done, free agency is going to hit in a hurry. You're going to have to make decisions. You can't just have a guy hired in mid-November. We're October 19th. They're just putting a list together of who they want to talk to. So the three guys they wanted, Epstein, Stearns, Beane, that you don't even get an interview with these guys.
No, again, another year. Same thing. Same thing happened last year. Which, I mean, I get. Listen, I get it. If the team likes you, they don't want to. But I would imagine that, you know, if it was a job that someone like Stearns wanted, he could let the owner know, like, hey, listen, I'm not long for this job. I would like to move on.
I would appreciate moving in a different direction. Well, here's what is upsetting to me. They have more money than anybody, right? I mean, the owner can offer you really whatever he wants.
Correct.
So why isn't this a job that guys are knocking down the door to get themselves into?
Well, you heard what Buster said, right? I mean, Buster said on this show that he's been told it's more dysfunctional now than it was with the Wilpons. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's the expectations that, I mean, these GMs, these presidents look at this team and say, I don't know if there's enough talent here to make it realistic for us to win a championship over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Oh, come on.
Like the owner wants.
There's no way that a good GM couldn't turn this into a team that's competing for a title in 3 to 5 years.
Okay, yeah, but do you want to deal with that pressure? Do you want to deal with an owner that's tweeting all the time and all that other stuff? Like, do you want to deal with all that extra stuff?
You're right. There's a lot of baggage. So do you want to deal with that? Do you want to deal with you know, are you going to be the guy? What role does Sandy Alderson have here?
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, he's supposed to be now in charge of the business part, not the baseball decisions. And now you're dealing with St. Louis is open. The Padres' job is open. So, I mean, you're looking for a manager. I mean, that makes that more difficult.
Yep. I mean, you tell me, you want the Mets' job or the Padres' job?
But, I mean, the real problem is this, is that we have no idea what this collective bargaining agreement is going to look like moving forward. Like how long this fight is going to be. Is there going to be a lockout? Whatever it is. But you'll have from the time the World Series ends to December 1st when this current collective bargaining agreement expires to take care of the business you need taken care of. So, I mean, do you want Sandy Alderson as the one to make those decisions?
No, I don't. God, no. And no, I got to be honest with you. And I was fine with Sandy originally. I didn't even want Sandy Alderson here anymore.
Especially if he's being looked at as a negative. Like, that's part of why they don't want the job.
How quickly that worm has turned, huh? He was a guy that, well, there's stability with Sandy Alderson. Now it's like, oh, God, Alderson is still there.
Well, look at his hires. I mean, look at his hires.
They have been nothing short of brutal. All right. Santiago, we'll do more Mets in the coming days when they actually start to make some decisions. Santi, let's go. Time for three stars.
Today's three stars.
And, of course, today's three stars of the day is brought to you by 7-Eleven.
Number three.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about...
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
And I don't know how we ended up here, but we talked about meat thermometers, and Dave was just amazed at this meat thermometer, that it can be an app. He can cook things without even having to watch them. I think you may be onto something here, Dave.
Now we can walk around with a thermometer inside of him and just check his
stuff. No.
I mean, man, we're saving that all day.
Number two.
And honestly, on that note, I mean, yesterday we were talking about big words and you know, we can learn vocabulary on this program. And today was a lot of dirty words. Thank you, Dan Orlovsky. He was really proud of himself for the comparison he made yesterday. Don LaGreca dropping borderline expletives on the K Show. And, you know, all we're doing is encouraging Rick DiPietro. It can only get dangerous from here.
Number one.
Matt in Astoria, the chef. He's all in for the dinner party. And I just want to name drop him because he's name dropping people like Madonna. That's number one. That's three stars of the day brought to you by 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, get a $1 any size iced coffee with 7 rewards. 7-Eleven, take it to 11.
It is rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and...
The Cowboys will fail.
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.